Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today's Thursday, November 2nd.
Oh, my gosh. I thought I was going to miss today's show. No. I mean, in the beginning, I was like, I'm going to walk in. I'm not going to be able to tell today's guest how excited I am to have him here in the way that I wanted. But I did. It was awkward and abrasive, which is exactly how I anticipated it. So,
yeah, right?
True to form. But yeah, today was a struggle getting here. Man, around L.A.
Yeah.
Well, you know, half my street got shut down because of water main break. And wow. It's in Hollywood. So yeah. When this happened, it was a disaster. I mean, it was mud everywhere. We didn't know what it was. Like living in Hollywood, I'm like, is this mud or is this the other stuff, you know? Right. And so they've had to shut down part of Franklin, which is, Franklin and like Cahuenga, right
main
there.
Street, right.
Horrible. For like six months to do this construction, there's businesses. So like getting out of my neighborhood is a nightmare. And then just commuting here sometimes. And I got off at Coldwater. There's construction there. You know,
yeah,
L.A. We're blessed.
Everywhere. I know.
Yeah.
I know, but somehow we managed to get around, and that's
here.
A good thing.
We got
you know?
Here. I got coffee. I managed to do that, too. Oh, I didn't get fired along the way, so, you know, not yet.
We do have a great guest in the studio. We'll bring him on in just a moment, and we're going to talk politics, I guess.
I'm so excited.
Right,
when you sent me the breakdown last night, I was like, I am so excited today. It's going to be a good day. I know. I had to get coffee. I was like, if I'm not energized, I'm not prepared, you know? I feel like I'm going to be in my own, like, I'm going to be Rachel Maddow today, and you guys are like, I get
the
lottery.
Really? Wow.
I'm like so excited, you know?
Cool.
I think... Now more than ever, I don't know, maybe because I'm 30 now and maybe because of what's the environment of the world or the what's going on, that like, to me, when you find great journalists, and also as a communications major, I wanted to be a journalist before I realized like I would have to cut my hair and stop smoking weed. but whatever. And
is that how reporters
Well, there
learn?
Was no, but there was I didn't have the balls to go down to a small place like Kentucky and work on animal stories. Like that's what they do for when you start off, you know.
But I
look at some of the best journalists now, like baseball, you know, I give them their stats, where they came from, you know, like
really?
It's so cool. Yeah. Cause they're out there putting their lives on the line to give us facts, you know?
True,
so that's cool.
Yeah. Well, that'll be cool. So we're looking forward to that. And
What's going on?
The World Series, I guess, right?
Yeah.
The Astros won. The
How do you
Dodgers
feel about
lost.
That? Are you affected?
I have no opinion on it at all because I'm no baseball fan.
Well, I will say this. I grew up loving sports. I played sports. I'm not like a fanatic because I'm from Vegas, so we didn't have a team to claim. We claimed LA teams. My parents are Dodger fans. Like by nature, I like the Dodgers, but I just don't care about sports anymore. You know, I put up a post today that probably isn't very popular, but I was like, your favorite sports team is the least interesting thing about you. Like, it really is. I mean, I don't care.
Exactly,
you know?
Right.
Tell me something interesting. Like
I know. I don't understand that, but some people are really, they love sports, you know, and they follow it. And they
I
know
get
everything.
It, because if you grow up in a, but that's the thing, is I don't have that connect. I can imagine if I grew up in a college town that also had a home team or whatever.
Right.
But Vegas, we just got we're getting teams. It's I don't have that emotional connection to it.
And to
I
can any understand team, right?
Bringing your family to those, like, cookouts, like, I can imagine the connection, but man, I don't have
That's true, you know, but I just feel that sports are so inconsequential to our lives that I don't have the time to spend on it.
Well,
you know?
I just think, I don't know, I think that sports has changed since sports began. There's so many rules, there's so much politics, it's now becoming a political thing, and it's and a money thing, and it's like, whatever happened just to the love of the sport, you know, of being an athlete and just what that truly meant. It's all money, right? And politics.
Yeah,
like
it's all business.
Else.
You know, I mean,
it's
if
a
you
business
want,
now. Yeah,
if you want good players, you got to pay them a lot of money.
You know, you hear the thing about FIFA, and it's like, no shit. There's probably corruption happens in probably all different you know, leagues and whatever. And we just, it hasn't, it had, the Harvey Weinstein hasn't happened to like each, you know, it happened at FIFA. There was, you know, did you, I don't know if you heard it. It came out. There was like money. I don't know. Maybe, you know, our guest probably knows more about it, but he, there was a huge corruption scandal that happened with FIFA and, yeah, so that's why I'm like sports.
Well, corruption's everywhere, but yeah. But congratulations to the Astro fans. What can I say?
I also think good for Houston. You know, they took a hit this year. No, no pun intended. With the hurricane and stuff and the floods, and so I think it'll be a good. It's good for them. You
right.
know?
Yeah. The amazing thing is they're saying that Sports Illustrated predicted their win in 2017.
Really?
Yeah, and that was 3 years ago.
Well,
though.
I mean, I don't know much about. I will say baseball's the least. What I know the least about, as far as, because I was a basketball girl. But I was it. Wasn't it? Weren't the Dodgers a better? You know, they played better. They won more games.
And, I don't know. I have no idea. But what they're saying is, look, in 2014, the Astros were the worst team in baseball the previous season. But so that's why when this guy predicted they'd win
never
in 2017, people were like, you're crazy.
Right. That's crazy.
So it happened, you know. So congratulations to them. Sort of a Cinderella story maybe or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Very, very true.
Yeah.
Very true.
Also, Wendy Williams passed.
I saw that.
Did you hear that?
I watched it.
Yeah.
I saw it when it was happening. Gosh, I hope she's all right.
While it was happening, you saw it?
Yeah,
really?
Well, I saw it like pretty, you know, I'm on Twitter and I think Twitter's even faster than the news networks. Twitter breaks information the fastest. That's how you can get, it's citizen journalism. I mean, it's just people reporting in an instant. So, like I saw it coming down my timeline and I was like, what is this? I didn't know what it was. And then, yeah, it gets hot under those lights. And if you don't, you know, maybe you shouldn't have enough water that morning or whatever. And, you know, your body is different every day. So, and that outfit was like tight. You know, she looked good. I was like, man, I hope I look that good when I pass out.
You know, Statue of Liberty, you know.
Great.
But she, it's funny to watch it, though, because you think she's pulling something,
right? Yeah, that was the thing. I was like, what is going on? I was like, is this Halloween? Like she's really, she's scaring me. This, you know, so I.
Yeah, her face started to change and everything.
Yeah.
And then she just fell.
Yeah. Yeah. That's happened to me. I mean, I've, like at a concert. Sometimes it's happened when I was younger. Like it doesn't happen luckily anymore, but like if you're just, you know, if it's hot and there's not a lot of air and there's a lot of people around you, you know, you can't, the body's not getting enough oxygen.
Yeah,
so
They're saying, she says the paramedics found she was low on electrolytes, which is water.
Dehydration.
And,
things
like that. So, I don't have that problem. I drink a Diet
that
Coke every hour.
That's not how that
so
works.
So I'm never dehydrated.
That's not how that works. I'm not a scientist, but I'm pretty sure.
Doesn't sound right. Well, I'm getting liquids in my body. That's
yeah,
what's important.
Yeah, that's not.
You know? I'm never dehydrated, so there you go. You go figure it out, right?
I mean, I think we're all as a society very, pretty high. We don't. I mean, we say drink water, but like most of isn't our body more than 80%
right.
mostly made of water,
right? And they're saying only drink as much as your body needs, not like the friggin' 10
right.
ounces.
I mean, everyone
gallons.
Is different, but I think, you know, dehydration is a problem.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, whatever. We're going to bring in our guest right now, who's sitting here patiently, I might add, which we appreciate. Dressed to a T.
I know. He's the nice. He's so nicely dressed.
Seems
I'm like,
I
rolled out
nice
of bed.
Man. Pull the mic towards you a little bit so we can have you close and nice and
okay,
warm.
Okay, how's that?
There we go. Dr. Christopher Metzler, welcome to the show,
sir.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Thank you for joining us. You were telling me you're visiting us from somewhere else.
Yes.
Where do you live?
I live in Florida part-time.
Uh-huh.
And I also live in the swamp, D.C., part time.
Wait, what part of Florida? I lived in both.
Fort Lauderdale.
I lived in Boca for 4 years, and then I lived in D.C. I went to American.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I taught at Georgetown for a while.
Back when I wanted to be a
journalist.
Yeah. When I was like, I could do this.
I know. Once I went to journalism, I was going to major in journalism, so I went here to Pierce College the first couple years, and I wrote for the newspaper newspaper and everything. But I realized I'm not... I'm not made to be a journalist because I don't like chasing people.
Yeah.
And
for an interview and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Now, that's a big deal, right?
Yeah, that's huge.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're a journalist.
No,
what are you?
Political
analyst.
Yeah, I'm a political analyst.
Because he refers to journalism.
No. I was saying I know he's a political analyst, but he has he has worked, or some of his colleagues are some of the
you
coolest.
Have background.
And, well, if you look, I looked him up. I stalked him. With the breakdown you sent me, I was like, oh, he's been an analyst on every any MSNBC, Fox, CNN. You turn on the news, and he's probably sitting there. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. So
you're not a journalist. You actually have opinions, and you provide them. And
I don't have the skills to be a journalist.
Good.
Or the desire, probably.
No, I have no desire to be a journalist.
Yeah, there you go. You know, you have to chase people down.
Where were you born? Everything.
I was actually born in the Caribbean.
Oh, beautiful.
In Grenada. And that's actually this is going way back, but when Reagan invaded Grenada, I had relatives who were actually jailed during that period of time.
Really?
Yeah, because there was this whole kind of Cuba, Grenada thing, and Cuba was supposedly trying to spread communism.
Right.
And that was the whole thing. My grandmother was the first woman broadcaster in the Caribbean. She did voiceovers. She did commercials.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So we immigrated to the United States. I think I was about three.
Okay.
During that that time.
Right.
And so.
So you don't remember much though, but you went. Did you go back?
I go back all the time. I go back once a year. As a matter of fact, I'm building a vacation house there.
There you go.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Well, that's excuse right. Excuse me. We're in the wrong business.
No, that's what I'm saying. I have a fallback. I have a degree.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, it's very broad. I can go. I can,
it's important.
There might be a time where they're like, we need someone who is filled with THC and opinion. And I'm like, I am your girl. You know, I have the show me the money.
Somebody's going to want someone like that.
That's right. There you go. Show me the money.
That's okay. So you emigrated, and then where did you land?
In Florida.
In Florida.
Yeah.
Fort Lauderdale. And
do you have siblings?
Yes. Sorry. I've got two brothers and one sister.
Oh, are you the oldest?
I am the oldest.
Okay.
And I also own a number of medical businesses.
In Florida?
In Florida.
Very nice.
So pharmaceutical company, lab, rehab center, all of those things. And so I employ my family in that business.
Oh, cool. I know. Well, it's funny. I went to school in D.C., but I didn't finish there because I was like, oh, it's so cold here.
Yes.
So I was like, okay, I'm going to go down to Florida, finish up, and then I'm going to get my master's. So I went to Lynn University in Boca. And proudly, we had the final debate for the 2008... Was that how long ago it was? For the Obama-Mitt Romney election was held at Lynn University.
Right.
And nobody knew what Lynn University
With
was.
With Romney, it was 2012, right?
2012, excuse me. And nobody knew what Lynn University was,
right.
And that was fine. And the reports reported on that, so we made shirts that said, we don't know who you are either. I forgot what my point was, but when people would act, I would, you know, I'm like, I transferred down to Florida. People would be like, what are you doing in Florida? I had no idea that it was such a popular place for recovery.
Oh, yeah.
Which is
really
kind of funny because it's also a popular place to party, you know, like, and to not recover.
There's probably a lot of people have to recover.
There's like Del Rey, South Florida is just known for recovery centers it's a big pharmaceutical place because there's a lot of elderly people and it's a retirement. Right. So I was like, what do you mean? They're like, what are you in for? And I was like, education, you know, I don't know, finishing up school. They're like, yeah, but really, what did you do to get here?
Actually, my niece goes to summer camp at Lynn.
Oh, honestly, Lynn University, I'm very lucky I got my education there. And the thing was, it is a very affluent school, meaning like anyone who goes there we also have a huge international community. We have a lot of kids from other different countries coming to the school, and they're oftentimes very wealthy, you know, or whatever. But what I liked about that school is all the professors were retired professionals.
Yes.
These are people who had worked in the industries in which they had made, or, you know, they worked as a journalist or they worked whatever industry it was. And then they came back to Florida or to Lynn to teach kids.
Yeah.
So, I mean, because you go to school and who knows if the professor actually even worked, you know, they just learned
usually
a bunch
not.
Of shit and they're regurgitating
that's
it.
That's right.
So that was a cool, that's what I liked about, you know, Florida.
Very cool. So you grew up there and everything.
Yes.
You went to high school. What did you do after high school?
After high school, I then went and got my undergraduate degree. So I went to Columbia got my undergraduate degree from Columbia. Yeah.
You heard of Columbia University?
I've heard of that place.
Wow. So you excelled in high school?
Yes. Yeah.
You did?
Yeah. And actually, it's funny because I was the editor of the high school newspaper.
There you go.
It was really.
You were almost a journalist.
Yeah, almost, but not quite.
You were on the path.
Not quite.
So what did you major in?
Philosophy.
Philosophy?
Yeah.
You see, I would too. Because that's what I want to get my master's in, is philosophy, right?
I think you would like that.
It's such a wide area. It helps you think, right?
Right. Right. Yeah, so, and that's the whole thing, because it really does help you think. I mean, I then went on, got another law degree. My law degree was from a small school. Uh-huh. Oxford University in the UK.
Heard of that. Man,
we're with scholars here. Yeah. I'm in the wrong room. Uh-huh. I feel so small now.
I did a PhD in international legal theory, University of Aberdeen in Scotland.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So you've gotten around. Huh?
I've been around.
So how did this sense of education is important get to you? Your parents?
Yeah, my parents. And, you know, in the Caribbean, that's one of the things in the Caribbean. Education is very important. I mean, the island where I was born, there are 120,000 people on the entire Ireland.
Oh, wow.
Really? And so most kids will get their degrees, and then they'd go work at the bank. There are only so many banks. So I was like, yeah, thanks. So my parents, my grandparents really, really instilled the value of education.
That's very important, you see. And that's the thing, man, because education is power, you know?
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Look where you are now.
Yes.
You know, you can command any room, any mm-hmm. any business, anything.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because it's that the education, and it's also the diversity mm-hmm. of the education.
Right.
Because the UK in particular, I found that experience to be the most enriching
wow.
experience. I mean, I thought, yeah, Columbia was fine. But, you know, the UK was just, you actually learned.
Yeah.
Really?
And so they would tell you. So at Oxford, they have two sessions in the day. So the morning is completely optional. You don't have to go to class. If you, that's fine.
Yeah.
The problem with not going to class, though, is in the afternoon, you would have tutors. So you would be in a session with a tutor and eight people. So if you didn't go in the morning,
you didn't know what the hell they're talking about.
You can't add to the conversation. You basically look stupid sitting there with nothing to say.
Well, yeah, and you know, the tutors will tell you. They would say to you, "Yeah, I see lips moving, but nothing coming out."
Right. They called you on it. That's
yeah.
so cool.
Yeah, and they're just like, oh, you know, if you're gonna, well, they're like, well, it's not compulsory to go in the morning. And the tutor will say, no, it's not compulsory, but it's advice.
Yeah. Right. I love British and European
yeah.
culture.
Oh,
just
yeah.
the way they can say things, you know, they can get away with anything. Like, whereas if we say it here in America, it's like
yeah, well,
demanding.
And,
you know?
And that's the thing, because, you know, they would say, one does not mean to be unkind. Well, that means that they then are going to proceed to be unkind.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Like saying,
no offense, but.
Yeah.
I don't mean to be mean, right. but you're an ass.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's so
very
funny.
Cool. So now, so that opened up a lot of opportunities for you.
Yes.
Did you practice law at all?
Yeah, I practiced law.
What kind?
I was criminal law.
Oh, both my parents were criminal attorneys.
Yeah, I was a prosecutor in the state of Minnesota.
Really cool.
And
her dad's a big deal too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Don't start it with she likes to brag, but her
no,
mom.
No.
But I will. No,
but
she said that last
too.
Time. No, my dad. No, he's right. My dad is the DA of Las Vegas.
Oh wow!
And then my mom was a judge. She put O.J. Simpson in prison for the robbery case.
Oh yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Have you heard of
so,
him?
I have heard
he's
of him.
He's a killer athlete.
Yeah, and he should have been in jail for
no,
the robbery.
But there, I come from a family of... My life is one giant Law & Order episode,
yes.
basically.
Oh,
so,
like
yeah.
that's fun.
And my sister's a lawyer. So.
Oh, wow.
And I'm here.
So let's go back to that. So you were in what state?
Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Yes.
How did you end up there?
Yeah.
Well, it was interesting because as I was looking at what the opportunities were, I knew I did not want to go to a large law firm. There was no way. Mm-mm. I would be fired in like 2 hours.
You're like an independent.
Yeah,
kind of person.
And I'm like, sorry, I can't do that. So the prosecution route was good because it really taught me how to enter evidence. And a lot of times what happens is you have lawyers who simply cannot, they don't know the rules of evidence.
Okay.
You don't know the rules of evidence, then you're done.
You can make or break a case with that.
Yeah.
If you tamper, you know, that can be a mistrial.
Yes, yeah. It can be a mistrial. And then in a lot of cases, there's evidence that they would try to offer. And the rule is, if you're going to offer evidence that is more prejudicial than probative, then the judge is not going to allow it. But you have to know that in order to make the arguments.
Right. Absolutely. Wow. Very interesting. So you moved to Minnesota then?
Yeah. I lived in Minnesota for 3 years.
And so did you find a law firm there? Or no, you went for the prosecution.
Yeah. I was a prosecutor there. Okay. And then after 3 years, I started teaching first at Cornell University. And then I went to teach at Georgetown.
Oh wow!
So
you're definitely a scholar. I mean, you don't waste anybody's time.
Oh yeah, I'm a practical guy though. I don't.
When do you have time to actually live if you study so much?
Oh, well, you know, it's actually fun.
I know it's fun.
It's actually fun.
But learning, it takes up a lot of time.
Learning is fun if it's what you're interested in.
No, absolutely. But you have to have time to make a living too.
Yeah,
so. You do have to have time to make a living. And so for me, it's a good balance because the businesses that I have now. You know, it's really, I've put into use a lot of the knowledge that I've gained.
Ah. Well, okay, because I looked when I was looking you up.
Yeah.
When I was talking to you. So you own recovery centers in Florida.
Yes.
Mainly for opioid addiction, which is a huge problem in
this
country. And I saw a number somewhere, but it was about the, and I don't know what state or if it's our country, but there is a, in a particular area, doctors were prescribing per capita, like people would have 100 per capita in this place, over 100 opioids per person.
Really?
That's how many prescriptions they were writing is enough for everyone in that town to have that amount of.
Right.
So what is it? Is it the, you also work in the pharmaceutical industry. So is it a problem with the pharmaceutical industry? Where is this problem coming from? Because it seems to be an epidemic that has occurred over the last however many years.
Well, a lot of the problem has to do with the fact that the doctors were overprescribing because they were getting kickbacks from the pharmacy.
Exactly,
so it's true. It's not
it
just
is true.
A story, right?
No, it's absolutely true.
Right.
Because they would take the doctors out for very expensive dinners. They would send them on family vacations at like ridiculous private jets and all of this kind of stuff. So the doctors were like, hey, why not?
Really? And they mess around with people's lives and health and stuff.
And they don't care.
And doctors do that?
Yes.
Yeah. And that's the issue.
Yeah, there you go. You trust your doctor, and they screw you.
Yeah, because we see in a lot of cases what will happen is you would have one person who has been given 20 medications, and you're like, wait a minute. This all started with the pain epidemic. So back in the day when you had what we call the ambulance chasers, the personal injury lawyers, everybody had pain.
Right.
I mean, so you would go and they'd give you, for example, it could be Percocets, it could be OxyContin, it could be any of those. People then got addicted to it. So then once that started happening, that's where the politicians got involved. So in the state of Florida, Pam Bondi, the attorney general, said, oh, I'm really cracking down on the so-called pill mills. Mm-hmm. The problem with that was they were going after the pharmacies, the community pharmacies in particular, and they were shutting them down.
And that was, when I lived in Florida, people were having a hard time getting the things they needed,
exactly.
Like Adderall. There was like a,
exactly.
The pharmacies were having a hard time getting medication to people who actually needed it and weren't abusing it. But also when I lived in Florida, there was a huge abuse problem with among my peers of pill popping. Like they were, I had a number of friends who would have to go to rehab at Lynn. And I'm like, I have never, I mean, there's always one or two who just fall off the wagon in college, but it just seemed to be everywhere in Florida. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so interesting that this is a problem that is just, like, it's an epidemic, you know, it just, it's not, it hasn't gone away and it doesn't seem to be going away. But I also am curious to hear your stance on medical marijuana and what doctors are also saying about that. It can help opioid addiction and coming off of it. So
yeah, no,
as a doctor,
I think
because Florida just became a medical state.
Yeah,
too.
And I think they're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the issue. People, you know, go through this thing about criticizing marijuana. So let's put the drugs up side by side. If you look at opioids or any of the prescription drugs, artificial ingredients and what kills you in a lot of cases are the side effects.
Right.
You know, that's
it's
the
all
thing.
Chemicals, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's all chemicals.
Right.
So you've got withdrawal, you have, so you're prescribed number one.
Suboxone.
Exactly. That's exactly right. So when you have all of this prescription that's going on, then there are the side effects. So you give them additional drugs for the side effects. Then there are the side effects of the side effects.
I have side effects too.
That's how you end up on 20 different
I've
medications.
Realized that.
Right.
I know.
And that's the thing. That's what happens.
Yeah.
So when you talk about marijuana, you are essentially talking about something that is natural.
Right.
And so to me, I've never understood this whole thing, except for the fact that, you know, it was demonized. You don't have a marijuana epidemic.
Right.
You don't have the level of addiction.
Well, no one's ever died.
No.
Right.
No. And we don't treat people
for
that.
You don't?
No.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't happen.
I think that's...
So people don't come in for marijuana addiction?
No.
Wow.
I hear...
They sent me in
usually,
once.
Well, they
but
usually,
I had a
but
dual
you also
diagnosis.
Have other... Exactly.
Yeah,
it's, there's always something accompanying it.
Right.
It disheartens me to hear when people blame it on that because it is a medicine and... Do you think the pushback is from the pharmaceutical industry with that?
100%.
Yeah.
100%. If the pharmaceutical industry...
Because it would put so many of them out of business.
And that's exactly right.
Right.
If they could figure out a way to monetize it, all of a sudden it would be the best thing
right.
ever.
Right, and they would get into it.
And,
right?
and that's exactly what it is. So
right.
they're like, wait a minute, look how much money we'll be losing. And of course, the difficulty is with the pharmaceutical companies, it is the whole idea of money... and corruption in politics.
Right.
Because if you look at a number of the pharmaceutical companies, they're lobbying firms, who
yeah.
are they giving money to, those right. kinds of things. And so the president came out with this opioid panel, whatever.
Also, I mean, they said it echoed Reagan, Nancy Reagan's "Just Say No" campaign, which was proven to not work. That you
yeah,
can't
that
just
didn't
say
work.
No. You just like abstinence doesn't work. You got to educate people. You know, you can't just say no.
Yeah, and that was the thing. And initially, the panel was given a budget of $57,000.
Wow.
What do you do with that?
Yeah.
I mean, you know. So, and what they're going to do is
pamphlets.
Yeah, exactly.
For an area,
you know,
in local community.
It's
I don't
just,
know.
It's ridiculous.
That's insane.
Yeah.
And
you know what I was reading yesterday. Actually, they're now the government is investigating a few pharmaceuticals
yeah.
that colluded to fix prices. Like
yeah.
we're not going to compete with each other, and therefore we can increase our profit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
right?
kind of like what Uber, like the Ubers were doing. That's
yeah.
how they increased the rates at the same time because a bunch of them get together and turn off their meter.
Right.
You know, like there's just corruption. It just is everywhere. So I read that you're a conservative analyst.
Yes.
Do you find it hard to be like what since the 2016 election?
Uh-huh.
Do you find it hard to be a conservative in today's world?
Well, I find it hard to be a conservative primarily because we don't have a conservative in the White House.
Right.
And that's the difficulty for me.
Because he was a Democrat.
Yeah, he was a Democrat. I mean, from my
But we don't want him.
No.
Nobody wants him,
no,
really.
Right. And from my standpoint, he is really just an opportunist.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
for him, whatever the opportunity is, he's a chameleon. I mean, he changes from time to time. So
he's
it's
like
difficult.
The ideal. We put a car salesman in the White
yeah.
House.
And that's pretty much what yeah. that's pretty right. much what you have.
Yeah.
So what do we do now? I mean, and that's an important question. So what's a conservative to do
but
now?
But I also want to say I respect you, both of you as a conservative, because we need good conservatives out
yes.
there. People who, you know, who, and I don't know. I don't know if each party needs a revamp or to come to the modern times or whatever, but it does take, you guys to stand up and be like, this isn't right. This isn't who he doesn't represent us, you know, so commend both of you.
Well, thank you. But that's the thing that has to be done. And I appreciate the senators and the congresspeople saying, okay, I'm leaving. I'm not running for office.
Right.
I understand that, but I also blame them.
100%. I wish they wouldn't leave. They have to stay and fight.
Well, the thing is, if they stay, they're not going to win.
Right.
And that's, you know, that's the whole thing. But to me, they should have spoken up, you know, a very long time ago. When this entire thing started, at first, I worked with the president. I tried to get all of this stuff done. And then they're like, yeah, no. Sorry.
Right.
You know, and it's just, it's, they're like, well, we've put a businessman in here and all of these little sound bites. And I really don't appreciate the fact that you have a press secretary who stands up every day and just lies about things that are so easily verifiable.
It's honestly, everybody. What they need to start doing? I wish MSNBC and CNN and any of them would just start, like, at the side, like, fact-checking live. Because can you imagine the impact of anything she says? Someone's like, that's not true, and it just pops up on your screen. Because otherwise, people are going to just think it's true. They're gaslighting us. I mean, it's crazy what is going on. You know, my mom was a Republican. And she voted Republican, you know, not in this election, but she did in the past. And my mom is one of the smartest people I know. Mm-hmm. And I'm a complete hippie, so I'm very liberal, moderate liberal, but mostly liberal. But to see her leave and be like, this is not the party that represents me anymore. And to just, it's nothing I can only imagine in my lifetime. I'm very young, but to see my mom in shock and just your guys' generation and just... It's never before seen. I mean, do you think he's going to finish out the year?
Well, I think he'll finish out his term.
Really? You think he'll be there 4 years?
Yeah. I think unless there's a change in parties, if there's a change in parties and articles of impeachment are passed.
Because it takes Pence to the 25th Amendment. It's him. It's the vice president who has
Pence
to do it.
He
would never do it.
No. Pence wouldn't do it. But I think, you know, if he's impeached, what will end up happening is I don't think he'll be removed because I don't think the Senate's going to do it. But for him, the shame of being impeached with Bill Clinton just would be too much.
Oh, my God. It would be too much. Well, okay. So you don't think that you think he's going to finish out his 4 years?
Yeah.
Your thoughts on Russia colluding in our election?
Yeah, I mean, and it's obvious that Russia did.
Yeah.
But again, I go back to the fact that this is one of the most undisciplined White Houses I have ever seen. So the indictments come out. And then he's talking about the... Why are you talking about the indictments?
Oh, man.
You
were
not
so bad.
Listed.
It's so bad.
You know, it's like, okay, we have nothing to say.
But
we'll
you,
let the
but
process
even if,
go.
Even if... What if Mueller comes out and is like, yeah, Trump... directly colluded with these people.
Well, then I think it's all bets are off.
But do you think they'll have a hard time proving
that? Yeah, I think it's going to be very hard. But I do appreciate the way that Mueller's going about the investigation.
He's sick.
Yeah, people are really just criticizing him and saying, well, he should have said collusion in the front. You don't do it like that.
Yeah.
The way that he is doing it is, as a former prosecutor, that's exactly what we would do. It is like... what we call a RICO case, which is a racketeering case, you start here and then you build up.
Because everyone's like, why isn't anyone doing anything? Well, investigations take time. They have to, and while also keeping it secret.
Yes.
And because any hint of anything, you know, can cause, you know, things to disappear.
Yeah.
So it's such a sensitive investigation. I can only imagine the pressure and just like, that's why when he came out and was like, these are the indictments on Monday or whatever, he had to be sure. Like that is not, you know, so, and that's why when it was like Papadopoulos already pled guilty, like, yeah, I mean, you can't just be like, we think this is what's going on. And
well, and with him pleading guilty, again, I go back to this whole message. Well, he was just the coffee boy.
Oh my God! No, there's evidence. No, there's pictures. He was not a coffee boy. I was listening to MSNBC last night. They're like, how could a coffee boy? And this is a billionaire.
Yeah.
Like they would be more careful in which who they let in their inner circle. You would at least think.
Well,
you know?
and Clovis.
Yeah.
Who?
And that's very interesting that you just brought him.
He's not even a scientist.
He was a host on our station.
What?
He did a show remotely. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, like a few years
ago.
Oh
my God! First off, this man has nowhere been business being near the Department of Agriculture, or whatever his position was. He's also a climate change denier.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't believe in science?
Yeah, and the thing about it with him too is he in fact was interviewed by the special counsel. So you don't want to begin his confirmation hearing by saying, "So what exactly did you say?"
To right.
You know, you don't want to. You just don't want to do that. So right. He had no choice for those two reasons but to withdraw.
Yeah.
So tell me now, what's a conservative to do these days? I mean, we don't really have a leader, or the leader we have, we're very
neither does the
of it.
Neither do, do the right? Democrats. Yeah. We don't like right. our leader either.
Right, but we're in a more precarious situation, I think, because the president aligns himself with us.
Yeah. Sadly.
Yeah. So I think there are three. It seems to me there are at least three wings of the party now. You've got the Trump wing, you've got the Bannon wing, and you have the conservative wing. And
do you think the Trump and the Bannon are, like, different?
Yes, because I think Bannon is about Bannon. I think for Bannon, this is about, let me show you how strong I am.
Right.
Because, in fact, I got you elected. Interesting, you're now hearing these comments about, well, the president no longer speaks to Jared. Jared is the person who's to blame for all of this. If we go back, we remembered that Bannon was leaking that information out of the White House a while ago. Mm-hmm. The almost word for word what is now being said. Mm-hmm. So it shows the power of Bannon.
Yeah, why do
Bannon.
People it's crazy to me that we even give that guy attention.
Yeah, well,
because he like
and
you
Breitbart.
Said, he's got power. He does have a lot of influence.
He does, and it's linked to Rebecca Mercer.
Yeah,
and they own.
Yeah, and Rebecca just inherited Breitbart. No,
So you know, and the Mercers bought Kellyanne Conway's polling firm.
Mm-hmm.
So
and her husband is What does her husband do now?
He's a lawyer.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be at the Justice Department, but after he publicly criticized the president, that didn't happen.
Man.
He was supposed to be Solicitor General.
Yeah.
So
back to the question.
Yeah. So I think there are a couple of things. So given that there are three wings of the party, I think we have to work to shore up the conservative wing of the party. We cannot be really distracted by the Bannon wing and by the Trump wing, because I think that combination really will sink the Republican Party, and we will spend decades trying to
rebuild. Having to climb back.
You
up,
guys
right?
need to separate yourself from him and then also kind of start reaching out to my generation and kind of branding yourselves as a different party that has nothing to do with the racist, homophobic, archaic Trump, Bannon, whatever that shit show is.
Yeah.
And if you guys can reach out to my generation and align yourselves with younger people who want to be, you know, proactive and really, you know, even if you guys even like said work with the Democrats, the good, you know, not the ones that are, you know, not the ones that are and just be like, we need to move forward together. You guys would be fine, you guys would be able to pull it off.
Yeah, and I think that's right. I think, you know, it has to be truly the conservative. For me, I'm a conservative who tends to vote with Republicans because the Republican brand to me in and of itself is a terrible brand.
Right.
I mean, because there's so many like weirdos and hanger-oners and racists and white supremacists. And it's like,
So it's just unfortunate that conservatives have to be represented by this kind
and
of a party.
And that's unfortunate.
Right?
It is unfortunate.
Yeah.
But, you know, in a lot of cases, we have ourselves to blame because, one, we didn't speak out on the issue from the beginning. Two, a number of people held their noses and voted for him because they were concerned not about the country, but because of their issues, the courts being number one. A number of people simply said, he's going to pack the lower courts with conservatives. And in fact, the judges, the majority of judges who are being considered for positions are, what you're being told is, don't send anyone to me who is older than 43. Because we want them to be on the court mm-hmm. forever. And plus, they're not going to have a
picket. Are they having a hard time finding them?
They are.
Yeah, because that's an age where they haven't. The conservatives are losing those 40-year-olds. Those 40-year-olds grew up in where the economy didn't, you know what I mean? It was a different time for them, so they're probably a little bit more liberal.
Yes.
Not fully, but they're not going to align themselves with Trump. I don't see that
it's
happening.
It's tough. And then if you look at kind of, you know, nothing, and I hear the spin about how much legislation he's passed. There's no legislation that's been passed. The only thing at this point that could be considered a victory for conservatives is having Gorsuch on the court. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah.
Nothing else has happened.
Right.
As much as and the other thing is the hypocrisy, because in a lot of cases we as conservatives criticized Obama profusely for the use of executive orders, but now
and
it's
for
okay.
wearing a tan suit.
Right. I mean, you know, it's a like
which he looked really good in.
Yeah. Well, like last night, I did a Facebook post. I said, you know, the Astros won. I blame Obama.
Yeah.
You know, you might as well.
Exactly. Yeah. Thanks a lot, Obama.
Yeah. So that's the and that's the kind of stuff that in all of this discussion about the uranium, and it's like these are all distractions.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, if there's anything to be found, find it. Okay, fine. But all of this kind of stuff, it's and again, I keep trying to understand why so many people in our party believe that Hillary Clinton is the president. Because every time I turn around, they're saying, well,
Hillary did this. When Russia plays a part in that. That's when they unleashed all that 260 million information.
Right.
They unleashed divisiveness within both sides. They were doing, like, you know, anti-Hillary stories, anti-Trump stories, organizing protests over here, and then organizing anti-protests over here. That's why there's such a huge divide in this country now, because of the information that was disseminated on our social media accounts that people soaked up like a sponge and took it for truth.
Right.
And it's like, now we're like, well, what is true and what is not true? And that's what Russia wants, is this is what they wanted.
Yeah.
And they're not just doing it here in America. They've been doing it all over the world, because they were saying Russia doesn't have that. They have power, but this is where they have the true power.
Right, right.
Is through, you know, that.
But then, and that's what I'm saying, I think we need to look at them as our enemy.
Yes.
And
they are.
Spend the resources.
Well, yeah. Unfortunately, Trump had an opportunity to put sanctions on them, but that coincidentally expired. You know?
I mean, and that's that. But again, Congress is really part of ensuring that they are just as complicit.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and that's the other thing, is we're looking to Congress, and it's like, you know, what is going on? But I will say that I am enjoying watching the hearings of between the like Facebook legal counsel and the Senate, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love Al Franken.
Oh, he's a funny guy. Minnesota.
Man, the fact that he was on SNL. He was a comedian.
Yeah, yeah.
That means that I could possibly be on the Senate one day. You know what I mean?
So he's an inspiration for you.
Yes.
I did want to ask you, though, if Trump has such low support, how did he win? Do you think because of the Russians?
Well, I think Russians was part of it. But then also, from the standpoint of the Democrats, I think there was a huge mistake, a number of mistakes that Hillary made.
Yeah.
Number one, why would you let Robbie Mook run your campaign? If you're in a dogfight, you get someone who can fight like a dog.
Mm-hmm.
Robbie was just like, we have this in the bag. So you had that. And then the failure to control the message from her standpoint. And then you had the whole Bernie Sanders thing. And now Donna Brazile is coming out with a book, and in the book she says that Hillary hijacked the Democratic.
Right, I saw that.
Yeah, but I'm like, I'm sorry, Donna. First of all, you were fired from CNN for your own unethical behavior.
Right.
So that's number one. And number two, you were the chair of the DNC. Why didn't you do something about it? So now I get that you got a book that's coming out, but so I think they lost the message from Hillary's standpoint. She just allowed him to really, really take control, and she just kind of sat back.
Because he knew how to do it. He came from a reality show perspective, and she's not. She's a true politician, because politicians don't act like Donald Trump.
Yeah. Right.
And that's the thing, is she was probably out of her comfort zone. The things that we saw coming from Trump never happened in politics before.
Right.
So I'm sure she's probably like, I'm going to take the high road, the typical, you know.
Yeah.
But that doesn't work. You got to bring a dog to a dog fight.
Yeah,
and you got to be smarter than him. You know?
Well, and that's the thing. And then when the polls were, the internal polls were coming in saying, okay, the precinct captains were saying, look, we have a lot of people now who are registering to vote who are in rural Pennsylvania, who are in rural Wisconsin. You know, and they're like, eh, if those people are coming out to vote, they're not coming out to vote for Hillary. Mm. I mean, so at that point, you have to attack it immediately. You cannot just sit there. So yeah. I think that was part of it. And she allowed the media to really just play her like a fiddle, mm-hmm. and she did not defend. A number of her surrogates were terrible.
Right, but he wasn't that convincing. Most people, I mean, I so reluctantly voted for him just because I didn't have anybody else to vote for.
Yeah, well, I voted for Condoleezza Rice.
Was she running?
No.
He like wrote her in.
I think she just got my vote.
Yeah.
You know, so.
But listen, we only have a few minutes left. We're talking to Dr. Christopher Metzler. You've given us so much today. Let's give you a little bit of plugs and stuff. You have a book, too.
Yes.
Tell us about your book.
My first book is The Construction and Rearticulation of Race in a quote-unquote post-racial America. That was written in 2008. Within the next 6 months, I'll have a new book coming up.
Ah.
It's called Two Americas of Anger and Resentment.
Mm-hmm.
And it really just examines the Trump campaign and the Trump victory is, you know, looked at. But it really gets to the point of why has America turned into such an angry place?
Right.
So that's up and coming.
That's
Can I just say he's the coolest guest we've ever had?
Oh, well, thank you.
Very cool. I'm always honored to be with educated people, you know, because you're not wasting your time. Every word
he's
that
so
comes
cool.
out is worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that... And we know that you know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. And philosophy. I mean, like I said,
Sam let me run the show today. I was very impressed.
Philosophy is the best.
Yeah. It is, right?
Yeah.
I think you should go back and study it.
I am.
I
want to go for a master's.
It would be very fulfilling for you.
Yeah,
I'm going to get a master's in philosophy or history, or maybe both. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I love this stuff. You know, I really do, because that's what's made us. That's
yes.
how we've arrived here.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So with philosophy, when you went to school and stuff, did you hope to what to teach? What did you hope to do with that?
Yeah, I thought that I would just be, you know, a happy academic, just writing books.
Right.
And that was nice, but not completely fulfilling.
Yeah, you need to be out there.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And I enjoyed. I remember my last year, I had a philosophy exam, and there was one question, and the question was why. And people were sweating. I just wrote, why not? And I walked out of the room.
Really?
And I got an A.
Whoa.
So it was because,
you
know, people
so awesome.
Were writing all this. I'm like, what are you people writing?
You know, wow. So. You see, now you thought outside the box.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. And that's
and
what the professor said. Yeah. Yeah. He said you either could have just failed or done well.
That's true. And you fit. Yeah. Wow. That's pretty
cool. It was cool.
It's,
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's pretty ballsy.
Yes,
for sure.
Christopher Metzler, tell people how they can find you, more information about you.
Sure. My website is drchristophermetzler.com, on Twitter, I'm at Dr. Metzler, and on Instagram, at Dr. Chris Metzler.
Sounds good. Thank you so much.
Thank you, my friends.
And,
it was great.
That was
we forgot
such an
to
awesome
ask
show.
You, how come you came to L.A.? What are you doing here?
Well,
here?
In L.A., I'm working with Jade Umbrella, who is my PR team.
Uh-huh.
And they're trying to get me to be much cooler than I am.
Oh, okay.
Listen, you are pretty cool.
You're extremely
cool. You have my stamp of coolness, and
I'm
of the millennial generation.
Well, I appreciate
that. And I think you're cool as F, AF. So.
Yeah. Thank you all. It was
well,
a
you're
pleasure.
Welcome back anytime.
Yes,
thank you.
Please.
Much. Do you have any aspirations to be in politics?
No.
None, right?
No.
You're smart. You've
he's
learned
gonna
better
stay on
than
the outside.
I'll stay on the outside.
And he's going to build his vacation home.
That's
you know
right.
what I mean? He can't be doing that if he's running for office.
No, he can't be doing that.
Cool. Well, you're here to say if you work hard and stuff, you can get you
absolutely
can
no matter
a lot of
where
things.
You come from,
right?
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, I'm going to read you books.
Thank
when,
you.
When's the new one coming out?
6 months.
Yeah,
I'll give you advance notice as to
yes,
when it's
please,
coming out.
Please,
and send you both signed copies.
Sweet.
Sounds
yes.
good. Looking
awesome.
Forward to that.
Absolutely.
After having talked to you, I'm eager to see what you have to write.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Dr. Christopher Metzler, thank you everybody for listening. Rachel.
Who am I?
Yeah. I'm like Cheryl.
Rachel, love
it. Thank you so much.
Always.
See everybody tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.